Welcome and welcome back, everybody, to the OK Grognard Show. Today is Monday, May 13th, 2024, 10 a.m. Central in beautiful Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Am I on time? The Vince is in the house. The Vince himself. Thanks for joining us today. Today we're going to be looking at the First Edition Advanced Dungeons & Dragons Dungeon Master's Guide section on social class and rank in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. It's a real thing. It's a beautiful thing. It is, Vince, we batted around an idea or two, and this one came up in my brain as I was looking through the DMG and trying to think of something Mother's Day themed. And the closest I could come up with was social class and rank in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. So I guess I'll have to do it. It's actually a column and a half, so I should jump right on it and go right ahead and begin the reading and analysis. Social class and rank in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. There is no random table for determination of a character's social status to be found here. That is because the inclusion of such a factor will either tell you little or nothing of useful nature, or it will abridge your freedom with respect to development of your campaign milieu. That is, if such a table tells you only a little so as not to force a social structure upon your campaign, the table can contain nothing of use. If it states rank, it presupposes you will in fact have such classes in your campaign when you might not desire them at all. There are dozens of possible government forms, each of which will have varying social classes, ranks, and castes. Which sort of you choose for your milieu is strictly your own prerogative. While this game is loosely based on feudal European technology, history, and myth, it also contains elements from the ancient period, parts of more modern myth, and the mythos of many authors as well. So it's pretty widespread. I mean, the idea is, taking a little editorial break here, the idea is that this wasn't built on a single idea of presupposed settings, right? I mean, obviously, weaponry and armor and all of that stuff is kind of saying medieval. But once you add in the fantasy element and you start casting further afield amongst the Howards and, dare I say it, Tolkien's and various other libers, you're all over the place with potential setting information. And let's face it, even if you were to stick with a very historical campaign, if you're doing something that is flat out Norse, and the people they're running into are on the eastern end of Europe, so say the Rus, then you're probably not going to want to use the same ranks and whatnot that you would on the western end if you're invading France. And if you're strictly developing a campaign that is in Charlemagne's France and you're not venturing outside of the borders, all of it is within Francian Empire, then what do you got? You got strictly stuff from there and none of the rest of it. And so if you roll on a table and wind up with something on the order of Roman Empire senators and and whatnot, because there would include some ancient stuff in such a tome, then you're kind of SOL, so forget it. Let's continue. Within its boundaries, all sorts of societies and cultures can exist, and there is nothing to dictate that there needs be feudal European. In The Dragon magazine, number 25, volume 3, number 11, May 1979, there appeared an article written by me, says Gary, which outlines this very precept and lists a number of government forms which could be employed by the DM in his or her milieu. Actually, some, all, or none of them could appear in the world of any given campaign. To aid the harassed referee, I have listed these forms again. Additionally, a list of nobility or authorities in various medieval cultures is given. I have included the latter, as many DMs prefer to base their campaign upon a society of this sort, for they can then draw upon its historical data for game purposes. So true. He continues, once a set of social structures and cultures has been devised for the campaign, you may or may not find it useful to assign rank, class, or caste to player characters. Will your society have hereditary rank? Will it go only to males, females, both equally? Will only the firstborn inherit? Will any inheritance of property be required to be the entire estate to one individual? Deciding government form and culture might well delineate much of the social structure of the nation, state, or city in question. Let us assume a social structure of an aristocracy which is non-hereditary. Members of this ruling class are those who have served in the military, own property of 100 or more acres extent, and pay an annual tax of not less than 10 gold pieces on their income. Land ownership may be waived in the case of merchants and tradesmen whose business is such that they pay not less than 20 gold pieces in taxes each year. In any event, the aristocrats are the only persons eligible for any government office, command of the military, and from their number are elected senators who pass laws and legislate in general. Former senators are eligible to election to various tribunals and judgeships. Former military officers are appointed by senatorial vote to keep the peace and police the land. So there you go. Oh, I should have done. This would have been helpful, huh? Oops. Having that and the other one off. My bad. Anyway, there's the section there. Let's comment on it, because he's talking a little bit, or this aristocracy is very much like a Roman Republic form of government. So, you know, the idea that only the uppity-ups can be in government positions and eventually create laws and all of that is an important part of progression in a setting such as that for any player character. But if you're not born to it, according to a table you might roll on, doesn't really work. Might be better, in some cases, to jump on something like this as a precept of the, a conceit of the campaign that you're particularly running. The setting can be anything you want it to be, but you may want to say right from the start, look, we've got 10 players, you're all going to play some form of aristocrat. Some of your houses or families will be doing better than others, but all of the aristocrats are eligible for offices and for military leadership and for all of that. So male or female in this particular case, or non-binary if that's your inclusion in your campaign, if you're including more modern sensibilities when it comes to gender and that sort of thing, then you definitely want to discuss all of that ahead of time. Make sure everybody's on the same page for what all of that means for your campaign, and figure out where you want to go from there. Now, there's several more of these pages, and I will get to those next time in a part two video on this. So we will just say thank you very much for joining us today, and this has been the OK Grognard Show with a look at first edition Advanced Dungeons & Dragons Dungeon Master's Guide section on social, class, and rank. Remember, the show streams live on Twitch each Monday at 10 a.m. Central, and then it's archived on YouTube. Make sure that you follow and like and all of the other things for the various things, and it would be very much appreciated if you give us a thumbs up. And if you have comments to make, please do chime in on YouTube and let us know what you think of the video overall. Remember, the algorithms really love when people comment. So if you jump in and say, these are great videos, I love everything you do, then amazingly, I will suddenly pop up on other people's feeds a lot more often when such comments are made. So please do make little comments like that lovingly, and I appreciate it. Don't forget to thank our Patreon supporters by visiting them. Tom Tullis of Fat Dragon Games, Carlos Lysing of Castle Entertainment, Heath Farndon of the Antipodean D20, Dave O'Brien of Four Quacks Games, and as always, Shane Bradley, DM extraordinaire. This has been the OK Grognard Show from beautiful Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Bye-bye.